Gracious and loving Father, which art in heaven, before we open thy word in this evening, we come before thee, we turn unto thee, and we ask thee, Lord, to be in our midst. Through thy Holy Spirit, open thy word unto each and every one of our hearts, that we may find the blessing that is contained therein, that we might learn and understand the truth that is good for our souls to feast upon, to be nourished by, to be exercised by, that thou would help us in our walk of faith, and that thou would call those who do not know thee to thee, our great God, for salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thou art our hope, thou art our great expectation. We pray that we would know thee more, and understand thy ways and how thou would have us to walk as we look into thy word. So we pray that thou would bless our gathering to thy name's praise, worship, and honor. For we ask all these things through Jesus' name. Amen. Well, ones, I desire that we would turn together to the second letter to Timothy. Second letter to Timothy. I'd like to begin reading with chapter 3, verse 14. And read up until and including verse 8 of the next chapter, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 14.
Nađe druga poslanica Timotija, treća glava, početak od 14. broj. Do 8. broj od 4. glave.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I desire to conclude with the 8th verse there in chapter 4. And may God bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer.
Our Father who art in heaven, we come before thee in this evening hour, in this midweek, as we have set aside this hour to come together to take a break in the middle of this week, O Lord, and come together and to worship thee and to be refreshed from thy word. And Lord, just reading thy word in this evening already enlightens us and gives us pause and makes us reflect, O Lord, as we have once again a call that is being made to holiness and perfection. that we can find this through faith in Jesus Christ and through the word which we have before us, the word which will instruct us and guide us and inform us and shape us into thy image. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that this evening would serve its intended purpose for each of us, and that we would come together in this in spirit, where thy word would come forth even as the call is being made to go forth and to preach. So, Lord, we pray that the message that would come forth would be from thy word and thy word only. Lord, we have here a written of times that will come when fables will be spoken and things will be said that will cause men to be pleased with themselves in the manner in which they live outside of thy word. But Lord, we know that thy word is a two-edged sword. It divides and it cuts asunder. But Lord, it separates evil from that which is good. And we pray, Lord, that thy word would have its free course in our hearts, and that it would divide asunder, O Lord, all thoughts that are evil and things that will draw us away from thy pure and living word. O Lord, we pray that each of us would have attentive and open hearts, that thy word would have its place in each of our lives. Lord, we pray a blessing upon each of us as we have been able to come and assemble together. And Lord, we also pray for our brothers and sisters and those friends who would have had a desire to come and yet aren't able to. Some have obligations of work and at home and children and sicknesses. Oh Lord, thou knowest each heart and how it is before thee. Oh Lord, we pray a blessing upon each soul that cries out unto thee, looks to thee. And we pray, O Lord, that even as we have read here the comforting words of an apostle who was at the point of death, he realized that his time on earth had been finished. He realized, O Lord, that he was going to put down his pen and no longer to write these letters that encouraged and gave life to so many. And they continue even unto this day, for it is a living word that was inspired by thee. O Lord, and thou hast placed in his heart a peace and a joy that this life was over, and for him was a crown of righteousness set up and waiting and prepared for him. And Lord, he gives us also a comforting word that it wasn't only set up for him, but all who love thy appearing. And so, Lord, we pray that our hearts would be such that we would love thy appearing. Come soon, O Lord. We pray, prepare our hearts for that day when thou wilt return, that we also could utter these words as the apostle had uttered, that a crown of righteousness awaits for all of us who love thee in thy appearing. Bless us one and all. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
What a great blessing it is to come together, to gather round about the Word of God. When we open the Word, even as we had prayed, and simply read together, there's no reason that we should not find something for our souls to feast upon, to dwell upon. And there are many beautiful things that are written here for our instruction and for our encouragement, for our blessing, for a challenge and a charge, to go from this place with an appreciation for what is contained here and what the Lord has done for us. The Apostle Paul urges Timothy to continue in the things that he had learned. Apostle Paul had personally spent time with Timothy and had known him, had taught him, and is encouraging him again, just as the Word does to us each and every time we get together. The Word is something that we know, it's something that we've learned, and we need not go anywhere else for instruction in righteousness and truth. And the Word contains, it's like a well-balanced, full meal for our spiritual man. It's satisfying, it's healthy, it's the very best of the richest of nutrients for our spiritual man. And Paul says, continue in those things that you've learned and you've been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The word has something for us in every aspect of our spiritual life. It says that from a child, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, and that they're able to make him wise unto salvation. That is such a great blessing to us, because as God looks down from heaven above, and he looks at his creation, he could be silent, but no. In love and in mercy, in his kindness, he has given to us a word that describes his love and his work in redeeming man. And we can read the scriptures, and they can give us insight into God and how he is desiring a relationship with us, his creation. Though we have fallen and have been sinful, he has mercy on our condition and sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And despite the wise ways that are so-called wise by the world, and all of the things that man can do for himself, the way of salvation is one of dependence and faith and belief upon the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And it's this wisdom, wisdom of humility, the wisdom of faith, the wisdom of embracing and surrendering ourselves unto the Lord is where we find salvation, as it says, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's found in the Word. It's revealed time and time again in the Word. It's able to make us wise unto salvation and how needful salvation is for our very souls. For without the salvation that is provided by God, we deserve death. We deserve eternal punishment. And God has provided a word and made it known unto us how man can be saved. And so may we pick up the word, knowing that it is our guide and our instruction unto salvation through Jesus Christ. And he says also that scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God in his mercy has provided his word to illuminate and show us his way of salvation. And he does not stop there. He provides us a word that is able to give us guidance, to teach us what true discernment is, to give us teachings, a way of life, and to correct us and to show us what is evil and harmful for our souls, what to avoid, and how to live. Not only does the Lord bring us knowledge of salvation, but knowledge of life. And it's inspired by God. It's true. It's wholesome. It's everything our soul needs. I had an opportunity to spend some time with some people of a very big city. And I got some indication of some of the questions that those people in the huge city are asking. And you might think that their lives are so complicated and so intricate and difficult to figure out. But their questions in the big cities are not so different from the questions that we ask in our maybe simpler and slower lifestyle. And I was encouraged. I was encouraged to see that even the questions that they're asking in their very sophisticated place, the answers are found in the scriptures. The answers are found in the scriptures. And I from that experience, I'm glad I got to hear those questions, because I have more confidence now, maybe than perhaps before, that all the questions that we can answer, we go to the scriptures for the answer. We go to the Bible for understanding. It's given by inspiration of God, and so from the first page to the last, it is for our spiritual good. It's for our blessing, and it's true, and it's right. And we never need go away from a reading of the scripture without our ability to take something, because it's profitable. It's profitable, it's good, it's wholesome, and it's effective in giving us teachings that we should follow, in reproving us and correcting us and instructing us in the way of righteousness. Apostle Paul continues on and says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God teaches us salvation, teaches us the teachings, the doctrines, ways to be reproved and corrected, and to be guided away from things that would be harmful for our souls. And it's very good to know those things and to be able to discern. But the Word of God is also a living word. It's a powerful word. As the brother prayed, it's a word that's as a two-edged sword, able to discern between our thoughts and our intents. It's a word of power. The way of salvation, which is through faith, which is in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that those who believe on him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not only do we know the truth of salvation and the way of salvation and the things that we should not be doing, but we are also given by the Word of God, through his Spirit, a power to be able to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What is it that the Word lacks and cannot overcome? It provides for all of our spiritual needs. There is nothing that the Word cannot conquer. Although in this life, there are two things at least that will hinder the Word, and those are unbelief and pride. And we might think, well, what if the person was really clever and could deliver a message that really tugged at their heartstrings and really convinced them and give a very, very logical, good argument, or was very appealing? No. You know, you see, Jesus himself came in the greatest wisdom that has ever been revealed to man. And where there was no faith, there were no miracles. Where there was pride, there was no fruit. And so even though the Word in itself has everything that we need for our spiritual man, if we don't accept it in faith and in humility, and we embrace unbelief and pride, even this Word, which is so powerful, will not have a positive effect, will not have will not conquer our lives. But the Word is not helpless in those situations, because there is coming a day when all things will be judged by the Word, and unbelief and pride will be cast down. And the Word will overcome even those. But now we have a choice to embrace and love this Word, which is rich in food for our souls, the knowledge of salvation, the teachings that are given, and the power that is given to thoroughly furnish our lives. Even as it's recalled in the Acts, that Jesus went about everywhere doing good. And we as Christians, we are as followers of Jesus Christ, look to the Word that we may be complete, that we might be perfect, that we might be following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, thoroughly furnished unto the good things that please our Father's heart. Embracing the Word has many blessings for our lives. And Apostle Paul knew that. And he had heard the call of the Lord, and he embraced and accepted and followed in that path of the cross that he was invited to follow. He had served the Lord. He had walked and followed in Christ's ways. And he knew that his time of departure was at hand. He said he had fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. A blessing of a servant of God to have a testimony like that. And a confidence also, that henceforth there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. A hope that the world could not take away. That the crowns of this life and the wonderful things that he could have maybe pursued in the religious ladders that he could have climbed in Judaism, They paled. They were like dung to him. There was a crown of righteousness that awaited him, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not one that he had attained by his own works or own merits, but was a gift. That crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And he had that as a hope to encourage him onward, to help him walk in a life of service. And he shares a great hope with all who embrace the Lord. And specifically, he says, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The believer loves the appearing of the Lord. We love the idea and the truth and the promise that the Lord will return in glory and in power, in strength, to reign and rule. We love the idea that the Lord God will be just and the justifier of all those who believe in Jesus and will correct every injustice that we experience here below. He will make all wrongs right. And we glory and we love that idea of his appearing. There are many other appearings of the Lord. There are many other revelations of the Lord in the scriptures. Jesus came as a humble babe. He came to serve. He came to give his life a ransom for many and to teach us that we cannot earn salvation of our own right, that we are not so worthy as we think, that we are not so good, but that we do need his help, that we do need to look to the Word in humility and see that the Lord has done all for me. That makes things out of my control. That means that I cannot take credit for the salvation that I receive. That means I don't get any honor or praise from anyone, or I cannot at least claim it rightfully. Yes, that's true. And the believer loves that appearing of Jesus Christ as well, that he was so merciful to us to come and to be that sacrifice, to pay for our sins, and to make a new and living way through his flesh, that we might be reconciled unto God. We love that appearing because that is our only hope of eternal life. We must abandon all ideas or paths that seek praise of men, or even the acclaim of God. But love the appearing of Jesus Christ that came as a servant to serve. And love it so much that we want to follow it. The believer also loves the appearing of Jesus Christ at times that the world says is very inconvenient. At the time when a pleasure or a temptation comes, many times the believer is saying, these are things I need to avoid and I want to be purged from. And we pray that the Lord would lead us out of temptation and would deliver us and would provide his strength that we could overcome. Many times we know temptation comes and I know this is something I need to avoid. This is something I know is wrong. But then there are times when there's something I really want to enjoy. And maybe I don't think that temptation is quite as hideous. Maybe I don't think that the situation is that dire, and maybe I don't feel like it's really a temptation from Satan. It's just something I'd like to enjoy for myself. But then Jesus appears. And he says, you have to flee from that. And the believer even loves when Jesus appears like that. When Lot was told, you have to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. You have to go. Not everybody liked to hear it. The believer appreciates and knows that the guidance of Jesus Christ and his word being applied to our lives, teaching us to forsake ourselves, gives us freedom. It's the hand of a loving shepherd that is guiding us. And everyone who loves the appearing of Jesus Christ as he will come to rule and reign, the appearing of Jesus Christ who has come to save us from ourselves and from our sin and from eternal damnation, and the one who saves us in those moments that we think we're enjoying pleasure, but we're turning our hearts from God. And he says, no. And we say, Lord, thy will be done. Thy grace be sufficient for me. I will leave those things off. I love your appearing more than the things of this world. That soul is looking forward to a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to all those that love the appearing of the Lord at every moment of every day. As the Lord is appearing in our lives to give us wisdom, doctrine, reproof, instruction in righteousness and correction, to be led into the ways of perfection, to be thoroughly furnished in good works, and to live out the salvation that we've received. We love the appearing of Jesus Christ in every way that he comes to us. May that be our hope. May that be our expectation. May that be our joy. So that we can say also, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith, as Apostle Paul was able to testify before God. We have this encouragement of the word and its all sufficiency, its provision for everything that we need. And we have Apostle Paul ready to die. And then we have some verses in between. We have these two things coming together. Apostle Paul wanting to impart something to Timothy of value because he knew that he needed to impart unto faithful men so that they could be able to teach faithful men something of worth and of value. What better charge to give than what he's giving? I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy. Express the word and all of that it contains to all that would hear and would be willing to accept, that they might have confidence that all their needs are provided through the word and what God has revealed, and that they need to look no further. Preach the word, make it known. And these are instructions to Timothy, who is set to teach, to administer in the church, a man who is given responsibility. But we are all servants of the Lord. And so this charge goes to all of us. Make the word known. Make the word known. If you're going to share something, share the word, whether it be through deed or through spoken word. And Apostle Paul reminds us something very important. Apostle Paul says, I charge thee before God. Each and every one of us. Men may see us, but our lives and our thoughts and our hearts are always before the Lord. May we always remember that. We are before the Lord. The word that charges us and that we are responsible for four and two is unto God. Sometimes we think that that's an added level of seriousness and sobriety. But Apostle Paul is setting things just as they are. The Word instructs us, and we're responsible to the Lord for the Word that we know and how we respond. We're standing, as it were, before His throne, listening to Him teach us. He will be the one that is the judge of the quick and the dead at His appearing, and He will begin His judgment at His kingdom within His own house. So we must keep the very first charge, keeping the Word central to our worship and the activity of our congregation, for the administration, for the organization, for the way that we worship, that the reading and the meditation of the Word would take a priority. This is something that speaks to me and informs me of how to serve. Preach the Word. Be instant, he says, in season and out of season. For Timothy and for all of us, there are seasons of life. There are times when it's easy to be outside and where it's times where it's difficult. But Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy, be instant, be ready, be prepared, in season and out of season. When it seems like it's easier, when it seems like it's more difficult, when the hardships are strong and when the sun is shining and the days have their easy ways. It's needed for the servant of God to be instant in season and out of season, not only for the challenges that the servant finds, but also for the needs of those who hears him. Because sometimes a word will come across, and some will be willing and ready to receive it. And later on, that same topic, that same message comes across, and those who maybe didn't seem as applicable or didn't minister to the needs, you find out that very same topic ministers to their needs. So preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season. There's sometimes seasons where it seems like people are listening very well. Or when we're singing, sometimes the singing is going very smoothly and it's easy to make a joyful noise. And sometimes it's not going so great and it's harder and it takes a lot more effort. And we all know these experiences. But Apostle Paul saying, in season and out of season, when it's challenging and when it's easy going, when there seems to be great reception and when it seems like nobody cares, preach the Word. Be consistent, be prepared, and be ready. And he gives these instructions: reprove, rebuke, and exhort. To reprove is to prove and to test, to discern, and to be able to express what that means. To be able to differentiate between good and evil, and to be able to express that to others and share that as teaching. To rebuke is to admonish sharply. There is a personal element in that, but that is directed towards individuals. It's directed towards the congregation. It's correction. It's taking that discernment and applying it where needed. And exhortation. Take the doctrines. Take the reproof for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Take the Word in all of those facets and apply it to someone who is growing. Apply it to someone who is following in the Lord's ways, and exhort them, warn them. What that means is to urge them, to help them and encourage them. And just as Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy, be instant. He's urging him. He's saying, press on a little bit further. You feel like you've grown? Wonderful. Praise God for that. Look deeper into the Word. Dig deeper. You will find greater blessings. You will find God's greater faithfulness. As you learn, as you submit, as you are willingly urged to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Rebuking and exhorting, it takes on a somewhat of a direct and a personal interaction. Because if you're going to urge someone, if you're going to preach to someone and teach them and desire for them to embrace and receive and be blessed by the word, you need to care about them. That's what this scripture is teaching me. You need to care about, Apostle Paul is teaching Timothy, you need to care about your congregation. You need to care about them enough to rebuke them when they need rebuke. You need to love them enough that you urge them to grow and exhort them. And you need to, it's incredible to me. This is teaching me that the servants of the Lord need to interact with their congregation. And this is how we do it. It's not a word that is spoken from on high. We've got it all figured out. You just listen to us. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. There's personal interaction going on that Apostle Paul expects Timothy to take part in. That is a path to blessing and fruitfulness of the word that's preached. That is what I'm learning from this scripture. And Apostle Paul says to do these things with all long-suffering and doctrine. Doctrine is teachings. Teachings of the word of God. If we're going to reprove, if we're going to exhort, it had better be scriptural. It had better be based on the word of God. And as we interact with people, I hope we've all made the experience that we've been blessed and have benefited by someone else being patient with us. And Apostle Paul's encouraging Timothy, when you do these things, do so patiently, with all long-suffering, waiting for the fruits, being patient with others, being consistent, and going and seeking it long-term. Because the time will come, Apostle Paul says, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. This is actually two very sad verses. It's very simple. Because when you turn from the word, all you're left with is fables. How many people really believe, you know, if you knock on wood that something's not going to happen? How many people really believe that if your ears are burning that somebody's talking to you? Do you know how ridiculous, I see smiles because you know how ridiculous this is. But when we turn from the word of God, that's what we do. I believe that when we look to the word of God, it says, and we watch in all things. Watching is often referred to in the New Testament, watching and praying in all things. When we are approaching each situation of life, each challenge that we face with prayer and watching, we will be turning to the word more often and to the fables that are foolishness and that won't help anybody and are not profitable. We'll be able to know, I can leave those alone. Watch thou in all things is the encouragement. In order to be able to watch, you need to have light. You need to see. So along with prayer is the application of the word. And Jesus Christ said he has come into this world to bring light. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We must love the light that the word is available to us to shine on our circumstances, on our lives, on our challenges, and all things that we experience. The word is profitable for it. To endure afflictions, to bear sufferings, to do the work of the evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. These are words that encourage each and every one of us to the work that we've been called to. What have you been called to work? To believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is how we do the works of God. And by believing on him, we might have life through his name. And if we're living, we will serve and make full proof of thy ministry. I'm encouraged by this because Apostle Paul is urging Timothy and he's urging each of us. Grow. Strive. Stretch. Make full proof of the service that you've been called to. Allow the word to penetrate and fill each and every part of our lives as it is available for us to give us nourishment, health, and healing. May God bless his word. Amen.
Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And so he is impressing upon, as a mentor to Timothy, that his departure is at hand. It was Paul who would proclaim and preach the gospel. He told the Romans, he says, "I had a desire to preach in Rome, and because of that, he is now here in prison, ready to die." And he is impressing upon Timothy the need to preach the gospel. He says, "Woe unto me if I don't, and woe unto Timothy if he doesn't." And is it not woe unto us if we don't? We see that he instructs Timothy, says, you know, from his youth. Earlier, he says Timothy was well versed in scriptures. That would be the Old Testament. That would be the prophets from Abraham and through the theocracy and monarchy and on. He knew all of that. He was well versed in all of that. He learned it all. That was all scriptures that was written in his time, and he was able to read and study that. But now Paul was teaching him Christ, and he says earlier in this chapter, he says, "I have taught you these things." So he says to him now, as he's learned these things which he's learned through faith in Christ Jesus, and that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. None of these words that were spoken of were given by man. The words that were given by man, the oral law that the Jews had, that was done away with. Paul recognized that now, that which he had strictly followed, that's garbage. It's garbage. It's not worth repeating. The only thing worth repeating is the words of Christ. The only thing worth repeating is Christ and his word and what he has left us and taught. And so, dear ones, if we ever are going to reach anyone, it has to be through the gospel, not the oral law. Not what I think, not what I think is better. The Jews thought they're going to impress upon, they're going to make this law even better. They're going to make it so that it's going to sound even more strict and better. There's no such thing. Christ has laid down, he took the law to heights that we can't come to, we can't approach, nor can we even dream of doing unless we're empowered by his Holy Spirit. And so he impresses that upon Timothy, and he tells him, "I'm going to die now." He says, "This isn't going to be easy for you. The same thing is awaiting you, persecution, suffering, same thing that I'm going through now. You will go through too, but don't give up." What do we do? What if we were told, "You will suffer, you will die, the executioner's axe will come down and sever your head from your body. But preach the word. Stand where it's not convenient to stand. Stand where you will be judged, where the executioner will come and get you. Stand there. Don't back down. Preach the word." The truth, not what man wants to hear. The truth of God. That's what we're called to do. It's coming. It's entering in our own circles where the truth isn't really going to be accepted. It's not. Because the truth demands too much from a man who is living a carnal life. And living a carnal life, we won't want the truth. We want the fables. We want, what is a fable? It's untruths. Untruths that fit my life, fit my lifestyle, fit what I want. Embellish it, make it all sound good. I'll take that. And you who are standing and preaching, you're just old-fashioned. You don't know the new way. He's saying, don't listen to that stuff. Forget the itching of the ears. Preach the truth. Endure the afflictions, he says. Do the work of an evangelist. He says here, as he's ready to give his life, Paul says the miles, it's not heaven and earth aren't separated by miles. He says in writing to the Corinthians also, he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's what separated him. Nothing. Out of this body, he's instantly with the Lord. What a confidence. What a blessed life. Suffered? Yes. I don't have a clue how to even think about his life as he writes these words. What he lived like. What he endured and went through. And he's telling the next person who's going to take his place, this is going to face you too. But don't back down. What do we face? Are we backing down? What's the truth mean? Is it relevant? Does 2 + 2 = 5? Because it fits what I want? You can't, mathematics, we know, is very strict, very harsh. There's no wrong. I mean, there's nothing but what is the truth. And that's how the gospel is. You can't change it. And Paul is encouraging us here, don't back down. Stand for the faith. That means, brothers and sisters, we need to look into our own lives. We need to live the way Paul did so that we can proclaim, be the heralds, the stand, ready to proclaim the truth no matter what happens. You can't do that if you don't live it. You can't do it. So, we're called to live the gospel. May God strengthen us and empower us to live the word that we claim to love. Amen.